Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Star Wars Stuff podcast. This week brought to you by CantwellCollection.com. Predating Ralph McQuarrie, there are five designs which are the first Star Wars concept art of any kind, including the X-Wing, Star Destroyer, opening scene, battle scene, and Sith fighter concept. These autograph prints are ultra high resolution scans of the original illustrations. All designs remain under Collins exclusive copyright. That's www.CantwellCollection.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Star Wars Stuff podcast. We talk about everything Star Wars. I am James.
I'm David.
And Joseph couldn't make it this week, so sorry you have to hear the two of us speak. I'm telling you, I think Joseph has a lot more fans than we do, and I think every time he's not here, you can tell because people don't listen to us as much. But hey, we'll try to entertain you this week. And as you heard, we are, you know, kind of, I wouldn't say sponsored, but we are, Colin Cantwell did give us permission to use his stuff. And if you don't know who Colin Cantwell is, go to his Instagram page, go to Colin Cantwell and look at the stuff he does. And the pictures he has of the concepts he designed, I had no idea. Because we always hear about Ralph McQuarrie.
Right.
We don't hear about anything else. So let's talk about Colin, how awesome Mr. Colin Cantwell is.
Yeah, he was the first person to come up with the concept of the X-Wing, the Star Destroyer, and I guess a little known Sith Starfighter. Mm-hmm. And he drew out drawings for George Lucas. George Lucas seeked him out. I think he went to his house and he saw all his artwork and he basically gave him the job of working mm-hmm. on and being the first conceptual designer for the art of Star Wars. And I'm not quite sure exactly what happened. I think because George Lucas was at a different studio and then he moved. Mm-hmm. I don't think Colin can move with him, and that's why he brought on Ralph.
But
yeah, he was the original concept artist for those ships.
And yeah. If you look, he has like the first concept of the X-Wing, mm-hmm. which is a lot more X, you know, than you
right,
know, than the normal ones that we're used to. And then he even designed. I think he was trying to design the Millennium Falcon as well. I think he even built models. That's another thing he did. He built a lot of models for George Lucas as well. And one of those models, which was pretty cool, I know you're probably going to say I'm going to ruin it, but one of those models, those ships was supposed to be in Solo, was in the Solo movie that came out this year. And it was an unused piece of concept art that he drew and did that was never used in Star Wars, but they were going to use it in Solo. And then ultimately that scene got cut again. So we're never gonna see that ship on the screen.
Yeah. And Colin was also involved with Stanley Kubrick in 2001
which is why I think George sought him out in the first place, because everyone back then, science fiction, you looked at 2001 as like the holy grail of science fiction. And do you know, like, when he tells the story about when Colin Cantwell, when he was with Stanley Kubrick, mm-hmm. and that apparently it was his idea, Colin Cantwell's idea, for the opening of 2001 A Space Odyssey, where you see the moon, the earth, or is it the earth, the moon, and then the sun all lined up. That was like his idea for that opening shot of that movie and the music to go along with it.
Yeah, I think it just goes to show you that so many people are involved in film. It's not just one person who should get all the sole credit. And yeah, I mean, people like Colin, they're kind of under-celebrated, but I mean, they're out there and they have huge contributions to film, especially Star Wars. I think there's a lot of people that deserve a lot of credit for the success of Star Wars.
Very true. And if you go to his page, like I said, go to his Instagram page, and he has all some of the original concepts that he drew and the stories behind each one. And he does go to a lot of cons. I know he goes to a lot of like events and signings, and people know him. People will go and they'll take pictures with him, and he'll sign it. And so that's he's pretty cool.
Yeah. And you can buy his artwork at CantwellCollection.com. So,
and we messaged him, and he actually wrote us back. Like, I didn't think he was actually gonna write us back. You know what I mean? And we messaged him, and then he messaged us back. I was like, oh my gosh, the guy who worked on Star Wars wrote us.
Yeah. He seems really cool, really genuine.
So thank you, Colin, for letting us, allowing us to like speak about you and kind of and it was pretty cool, man. I'm really glad we got to talk about him, and an unsung hero, one of the unsung heroes for Star Wars. And I know there's thousands upon thousands of other unsung heroes on the production of Star Wars who aren't as well known. So, but yeah, shout out to Colin. So, any news this week in the world of Star Wars?
Yeah, surprisingly, there was a lot of news, a lot of little tidbits here and there. Solo Star Wars Story Expanded Edition book by Mer Lafferty. I believe it's going to come out on the 4th.
Mm.
I saw a YouTube video where it says it's available now, I think, but I'm not sure if that leaked or whatever. But yeah, it has specific parts where it talks about it. It's extended edition, so it's kind of like the film plus more stuff. I really wish it was the film,
yeah,
and they had an extended edition of Solo. I think that would be really cool. But I know there are extra scenes in Solo. But in this expanded edition book, you get to find out some parts of Kira's past, the beginnings of the rebellion, and a really kind of interesting scene that involves L3 communicating with the originally installed Millennium Falcon computer.
Oh, wow.
So she's interfacing with the computer. There is an excerpt online, and it's fascinating because it describes how the Falcon is talking to L3, and the Falcon is using images to communicate.
Ooh,
and
wow.
Reasoning with L3 on why she is installed and why. I mean, it's. I wouldn't say it's better to be installed in the Falcon, but it's almost like the Falcon is almost playing like a mind game with her.
Mm, okay.
And yeah, it's pretty interesting. It was just a little excerpt, not a whole lot of detail, but I thought that was very interesting.
I like that they're doing these expanded editions with the novels, because Last Jedi did that. The Last Jedi novel was the expanded edition, mm-hmm. where they added in stuff that wasn't. I think it's in the script, but it doesn't make it into the movie, or it's stuff that was like they wanted to do, but they couldn't do it. And now that the book is out, the screenwriters, I think, tell the authors, hey, this is what we really wanted to do. And then they, I guess, go to town with it. I don't know. But
yeah, and Pablo Hidalgo is actually releasing a Scum and Villainy book, which about like the underbelly and the seedy part of Star Wars.
Ooh.
And he goes in depth. So I really want to check that one out.
That sounds pretty awesome. Yeah. So yeah, well, I'm gonna probably buy that book and read it just so I can see like what else was going on in Solo. And
yeah, I think that's a must check out at mm-hmm. least.
And the movie comes out digital download on September 14th. So yeah, I'm getting it like as soon as it comes out. I cannot wait, because I hate to say it, I only saw it that one time. Like I only saw it one time.
You only saw it one time.
I know. I suck.
Oh my gosh.
But I loved it. I loved it so much, and so I'm gonna watch it immediately, like as soon as I get it. I don't care what time it is. I think they download like at 11:30. I'm gonna watch it.
I think it's 11 for us.
Is it? Oh, it's 11
yeah,
for
because
us?
It's 12 Eastern. I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, oh, yeah. I'm definitely gonna watch it.
And last podcast we talked about the streaming service, right? A little bit.
I think it was a one before that we talked about it.
The one before it. Well, Bob Iger, I think, was on a call or something, and he kept on calling it Disney Play.
Mm.
So there was an interview that was done, and they came out with the price point of $6 to $7 a month.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, we were all thinking 15, even $20 for this thing. But Disney is going to compete directly with Netflix and try to get Netflix's, like, take away all their business.
I think not at first,
mm-hmm.
but, I mean, after they start, if the TV show for Star Wars is a huge success, then I think they're going to kind of loosen the reins and employ more,
mm-hmm.
more artists and get more original content, because I think you would figure that the streaming service is something that's going to be a mainstay, you know? And I'm kind of surprised they haven't announced. You figure there's more stuff in the works,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, right now it's just the TV show. And we haven't heard anything about Pixar or Marvel, even though we figure the TV shows for Daredevil and all the other Marvel properties are going to come over to the streaming channel.
Yeah, true.
But the $6. And we were trying to figure out why it was so cheap. It's because they own the property. Netflix has to license out and buy the license for the property, and then they can stream it. That's why they charge more.
Okay.
So when Disney's streaming their own stuff, if they're only going to stream their own stuff, they don't have to pay anyone the license because they already own it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense then, why it's going to be kind of cheap.
Yeah, that cheap.
I had heard rumor a long time ago when they first announced the you know, this streaming service for Disney, that there was going to be like a new High School Musical show, and then there's going to be a Monsters, Inc. was also going to be thrown in, like, at first. And I think if Disney was smart, which they kind of are sometimes, except when it comes to releasing Solo in May, when it comes to Disney, if they were really wanting to get people to jump on this, they would do the sequel to the first Monsters, Inc., like a TV show of that. John Goodman, Billy Crystal, bring them all back, and then people would flock to this to see what the next part is. And then not only will they have that, then Jon Favreau's Star Wars is going to be, I think, is it going to be ready to go day one? Because, man, that thing has to be ready to go day one for people to, like, want to get this as soon as it comes out. It has to be.
I think that's going to be the huge draw.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, right there, everyone's been wanting a Star Wars TV show for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I talked about it a while back when they did a special on Fox and Howie Long was the person on camera talking about the future of Star Wars. And I think he talked about a TV show. And at the time, I think Kevin Smith was rumored to direct it. But of course, I think those are just unfounded rumors.
Yeah.
But now it's going to become a reality. And we know the budget. It's pretty big.
It's huge. It's Game of Thrones
big.
Like, that's the only way to say it. And Favreau's directing. I mean, we keep talking about this thing, but that's how pumped we are as Star Wars fans for this show to see what it's going to bring. And I think Disney should have it day one. As soon as that 12 o'clock hits, whenever it goes live, everybody downloads it, you open it, you create your little account. The first things that should be on there are Star Wars episode like one from directed by Jon Favreau.
So let me ask you this. Are you a fan of just getting the whole season that day? Or do you want to do it like, would you rather consume it just one episode per week?
I'm okay with either. Like, I just did HBO's Sharp Objects, and that one was each week. And I got used to the rhythm of it being each week. And so I liked that. But then when we did, my wife and I did Big Little Lies, it was pretty cool just to hit play. And then next episode. I'm okay with either. What about you?
I don't know. I'm kind of indifferent, I guess. I like you, I really don't care per se. But it is nice to get an episode, we talk about it for a week, and now that we have a podcast, we can really dissect each episode with everyone else. Everyone can watch it, listen to the podcast, we can talk about it. But if it's just all just out there, I mean, there's going to be a bunch of spoilers on the show.
Yeah, true.
So it might be more beneficial for us on the podcast and listeners, but
so let's hope first episode is there, then the next week we get the next episode. I get that. But then sometimes, like when Game of Thrones, when I cut up to Game of Thrones, it killed me waiting for a week. But then it just builds up the hype even more. You have all these theories. And then plus, like you said, that'd be perfect for us podcasters to watch one episode, be like, what? What is that going to happen next? And we just delve into it. And so
I think when I was younger, it would be difficult, more difficult. But there's so much stuff going on in my life that a week is like nothing now. It's not a big deal. I know we did speak of last episode about Dominic Monaghan and Matt Smith getting cast. Now, for some reason, it seems like a lot of people are thinking they're going to be Knights of Ren.
No.
Yeah, that didn't pop into my head immediately, but a lot of people are thinking that's actually going to happen.
I think the Knights of Ren are going to be unknown faces, almost like the guards are in Last Jedi. I don't see the Knights of Ren being like
unmasking themselves.
Yeah.
But if you look at it at a business standpoint, if they are individual characters, there's an opportunity. Because you hear a lot of people say, oh, I want a Knights of Ren Star Wars story. Mm-hmm. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, true.
Have each individual specific character and delve into their past or whatever. And we still don't even know what like the Knights of Ren are.
Yeah, we don't even know how many people there are. Did they say the number in Last Jedi?
Well, we saw like that Force vision that Rey had, and we assume that's all of them, but
I mean, we don't
could
know.
Be more.
So we'll see. But I don't think. And then plus people are saying Matt Smith could be Thrawn, and I don't No, the guy who does the voice, the guy who does the voice for Thrawn, Mikkelsen, not Mads, but his brother, which is funny. They're both in Star Wars. He already, they made him kind of look like him in the cartoon in Rebels. Like he has like the kind of the features as the actor who's doing the voice. He could do it. Like they said, Richard Grant, like, oh, he's going to be playing Thrawn. It's like, no, like the only person to play Thrawn is the guy who's doing the voice for him already on Rebels. That's my opinion.
Yeah, so newly casted Richard E. Grant did an interview where they asked him, are you going to play Thrawn? And he answered, he said, no, I'm not playing that character, but I'm not supposed to be giving any information away. But it's like, you just gave away just information.
Why being a jerk? Did you see his interview when he announced that he got the part? No, and just how happy he was? Like,
oh, wow.
He said like he sent in the video, and then he gets a call, then he goes to meet, and then it's J.J. Abrams, and he says, would you like the part? And I was like, yes. Like he's like, I just said yes. And
yes, please.
I was so happy. And he has this huge, happy look on his face. And I think he's an underrated actor. I've seen him in a lot of things. Like, he comes up and he's just so, he's very, very funny, but then he's also very dramatic. Mm-hmm. And so when I heard he was going to be in Star Wars, I was like, this could be really good. I hope. And then they announced him kind of with the main cast. So you kind of expect him to have a pretty big part in this thing. As opposed to, I don't know, Dominic Monaghan and also Matt Smith. Like, I don't see how they're going to tie into all this. I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll see. What else we got?
I saw a thing where Dave Bautista actually said he's a very huge Star Wars fan.
Oh, yeah.
And he had auditioned for two of the films. He didn't name which two, but we're kind of thinking maybe it was like Rogue One and maybe The Force Awakens. But who would he have played?
I could see him if maybe he thought he could do like Kylo Ren maybe for Force Awakens or even Poe.
Well, I think the big parts were already cast. I think he must have gone in for something else.
I don't know, man. That's a good question. Yeah, who knows what he could have been?
Yeah.
It would have been cool to see him. He would have
been perfect for someone in Jyn Erso's crew in Rogue One.
Ah, just
like a brand new dude, you know?
Yeah, he could have been what's his name, with the big gun?
Yeah. Baze.
Yeah.
Baze Malbus.
I could have seen that. All right. Yeah. I mean,
and he is Filipino.
Exactly.
So he is technically Asian.
But hey, that'd be pretty cool though if he gets to be in Favreau's Star Wars TV show. If Batista can.
Yeah. I mean, when people say they love Star Wars, there's a tendency where they actually kind of get pulled into Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. That's like Samuel L.
Jackson did it. And then who else did it? I think it was Dominic Monaghan. He said he loves Star Wars. He's in it now.
There's a lot of actors. Even Boyega, he was like, he's a huge fan.
Kind of inherently a Star Wars fan when you're an actor, I think. Because a lot of people cite Star Wars as being the thing that changed their lives.
And want to go on these adventures. And so maybe if we keep saying that on our podcast, that we love Star Wars, they'll call us and we can be in a Star Wars
speak
movie.
It into reality.
Yeah. So that's our audition, Lucasfilm. We really want to be in Star Wars. So if you have any other parts, we got you covered. We can do it. What else this week?
Well, I found out that Domhnall Gleeson, he read the entire episode 9 script.
How is that even possible? I thought they weren't allowed to read, like,
I don't know. Maybe he asked.
Or maybe he's the only one who's talking about it. You know what I mean? Go ahead and say what he said about it.
So he's now kind of regretting it because he feels like if he falls asleep on an airplane, he might give spoilers in his sleep.
That's crazy.
So he's terrified of that,
And that has to be insane knowing that he's one of only like maybe like 20 people in the world right now who know what's going to happen at the end of all of this. But here's my question to you. Did Abrams give him the actual script, or did Abrams write like 7 different versions with like 7 different endings and gave it to people?
Well, allegedly on the Infinity War set, there was fake scripts floating around. And people were thinking they knew what was going to happen, and they didn't. And I think it seemed like Benedict Cumberbatch was the only person to get a real script.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But you know what's funny? Okay, so now we're getting into Avengers. You know they have those pictures of them, like, at the Battle of New York, like they're going to refilm like those scenes in the new Avengers. I think we're going to call it Endgame. And like Ant-Man's there, but he wasn't there in the first Avengers. Mm-hmm. And they're going to like include time travel.
Spoilers for Infinity War.
Yeah, I honestly think that that's all fake. Like I think now with the hype of these films, especially Infinity War and especially with Star Wars, you're going to have people camping out with these huge lenses. You got people on the set sneaking in cameras trying to get the pictures and put them up online so everybody can see. So I think directors are getting really, really smart now, especially Abrams. I think Abrams kind of started this whole thing, and they're just kind of just throwing out all this misinformation like, yeah, this is us filming with these Star Wars horses. Yes, this is us on the set of Infinity War refilming a scene from the first Avengers. I think they're just messing with all of us, man.
I don't.
I mean, we'll see. I mean,
but I don't think they are. But that's pretty much everything that I found that was kind of interesting.
I found out this week that Rogue One was in even more trouble than what they've originally said.
Yeah.
Chris Weitz, the guy who was credited as one of the writers of the film, he said that somebody wrote a draft. They gave it to Christopher McQuarrie, which I had no idea he was involved. Christopher McQuarrie, in case y'all don't know, he wrote The Usual Suspects. He has directed the last two Mission Impossible films. He directed the first Jack Reacher with Tom Cruise. So he's been Tom Cruise ever. Like, anyways, he wrote a draft of Rogue One. They gave it to Michael Arndt, and he even took a jab at the script as well. And then it went to Tony, and then it did somebody else. And then Tony Gilroy had the final like draft, like cut, like pretty much his version of the script is what we got. So I can't believe it went through that many writers. And then they said, give credit to Gareth Edwards for using all of that and still being able to make the movie work. But then we found out that maybe he didn't direct a lot of it. Like some of the ending, like all that was like Tony Gilroy.
The last chunk of ending was redone with the.
So this movie, this movie was not supposed to be good. Like looking at it, looking at what they originally had and what they went into production with, that movie was going to fail miserably. And they finally, somebody caught it, and then they just went through and redid everything. And I remember myself included, Star Wars fan likes to defend, Star Wars, because it's my Star Wars. And people were like, oh, Rogue One's in trouble. Look at all what they had to do. And I was like, yeah, but every movie has to do reshoots. Every movie has to do this. But now you're finding out, holy crap, yeah, it was bad. It was really bad. So, I mean, how do you feel about like that? Like, are you glad all of that happened for it to come out? Or are you curious to know like what was originally supposed to happen?
Yeah, I guess we're really never going to find out exactly what happened and how bad it really was. Reports now come out that it was really, really bad. But, I mean, they were saying the final cut was no good. That's why they brought in Gilroy.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the film came out great.
Came out fantastic.
Yeah, the way they assembled it, it was really, really good. I think it could have been a little bit better, but, I mean, it's just kind of nitpicking.
Mm-hmm.
But, overall, I mean, what you get on screen is the final product, and the final product was really good. So whatever they did, it's kind of like Bill Parcells. You know who that is?
Yeah, I know that.
Head coach of the Giants, yeah. The Patriots, the Cowboys.
The Cowboys, yeah.
He would say, "Don't tell me how hard it is. Just show me the baby."
Oh my gosh. Pretty much.
That's his say, not my saying. I mean, I don't care what goes on. Just give me a great film.
And
you have to scramble, find different directors, find different art directors, switch it around, recast, whatever you got to do, do what you got to do and give us a great film.
But then you got to think, like, whose fault was it that it went that far in the first place? You know what I mean? Is that Kennedy's fault? Is that the studio's fault? And, like, why did it get that far to where they had to bring in multiple writers and then they ultimately had to hire a new director just to film it? You know what I mean? Like, could they have stopped this earlier? I mean, it looks like with The Last Jedi, like what Rian Johnson gave her, like that was it. Well, he gave her, she was like, this is what we're making. And they made it. The movie came out. And there's the movie. Whereas Solo and then Rogue One looks like she said okay, but then after a while she's like, ah, nope, this is not gonna work. Like,
man, I just go back and think back to episode 7, mm-hmm. and my mindset at that time was, oh my god, there's gonna be a new Star Wars trilogy, mm-hmm. an episodic trilogy dealing with the original characters, original actors. And being a fan growing up, I mean, that's just the ultimate. I mean, mm-hmm. as a filmmaker, I don't know how JJ did it. I don't know how he was able to be within himself and then create a new Star Wars film.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you have to have a special kind of mind to do something like that.
Or as Christopher Nolan said, colossal balls to do. That's what he said about JJ.
So many Abrams. Filmmakers turned it down, and it's because you're just under so much scrutiny. Mm-hmm. And for him to make as good a film as he did,
oh yeah,
for episode 7, that's an incredible achievement. I mean, because you don't get higher than Star Wars.
No, you don't.
This is it.
That's it. I mean, you've reached the pinnacle.
Everyone's eyes were on this thing.
Yes.
And I mean, it's all on the director, really.
And even if you weren't a Star Wars fan when episode 7 came out, yeah. everybody knew there was a new Star Wars movie coming out. Everybody knew.
Yeah.
Everybody was asking me, like, well, there's a new one. I was like, yes, there is. It's back. Star Wars is back.
Yes. Star Wars is pulled off the once in a lifetime situation 3 times.
Yes.
77, 99, and 2015.
Mm-hmm. That's impressive. Yeah, nobody's done that. Nobody has done that.
Yeah, maybe larger in 77 and 78 because mm-hmm. the film carried over to the next year. You know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But, I mean, for them to do something like that where it was just a cultural phenomenon, everyone was going to go see it, you know, mm-hmm. no matter who you are, what age you were. Yeah, for Abrams to pull that off, that's an incredible feat, I think.
And yeah, he did it. He did a great job. Like, he had me, like, happy watching it again. Like, watching the Falcon, watching, you know, seeing, you know, Han Solo, seeing Leia. And then plus how ballsy it was. We said this in our other podcast, but how ballsy it was. Like, the first 40 minutes of that movie, it's none of the original cast. You're with Finn, Rey, Poe, and Adam, and Kylo Ren. I was going to say Adam Driver. And you're with, and then you get BB-8 in there. And then, like, the whole first half of your movie is just them. And you're running around. You're like, oh my, what's going to happen? And then in the back of my mind, I was thinking, this is new. Like, this is all brand new, but it's still Star Wars. And it's working. Abrams is showing us, hey, look, I can bring in the new, but since you already know the old, this all still works. You know who the good guys are. You know who the bad guys are. You know what's at stake. And here we go. And it's that movie was very, very, very good. The Force Awakens was. And a lot of people, it was a remake. I didn't like the remake. I didn't like what they were doing with the story. I was like, shut your mouth. I was like, it was fantastic.
And then going back to the point of Rogue One, I mean, Rogue One, that was a great standalone start-off mm-hmm. film.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was very, very well done. I mean, I like the characters, and I like the style. It went back to the original trilogy style,
mm-hmm.
and that's one thing that I really loved about it. And
I liked the battle at the very end. That was, and then the last couple of minutes of that movie, I was like, this is great. This is really good. And but then you get to the Last Jedi, and then that's where, if you weren't on board with The Force Awakens, you were not on board for The Last Jedi. And if you were on board, you jumped ship. And it's crazy to see, like, all these videos of people just bashing The Last Jedi, like just hate after mm-hmm. hate after each and every scene of The Last Jedi. And then you have some people posting all these videos of, you know, giving praise to The Last Jedi. So it's like, you know, who's right and who's wrong? And in the end, neither. It's their opinion. You just do your own opinion, and that's
I mean, this isn't like sports. I mean, someone doesn't win, someone doesn't lose. It's art.
Mm-hmm.
It's all opinion based. And I just think people need to have a level of maturity that they don't have to kind of get through. If you didn't like The Last Jedi, I mean, you have to have an understanding that films are a very, very complex thing to actually be completed, to happen. It's incredibly hard to make a film. It's mm-hmm. incredibly hard to make it like a student film.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine, like, all the balls you need to juggle. I mean, to have one of these films made, and I mean, you have all the pressure of the world looking at it. Maybe except China, but some reason they're not on the Star Wars bandwagon.
Yeah, I can't understand that. I don't understand that at all. Why they didn't jump on board? But the one thing I don't appreciate is when people badmouth like either side. Like, you hate The Last Jedi because you're stupid. You love The Last Jedi because you're stupid. It's like, no. Let them say what they want to say. You say what you got to say, and that's it. Don't be. And there's a lot of people who are just being rude to others who like The Last Jedi. And it's like, oh my gosh, like I didn't expect that to happen. But then you look at the kind of the history of Star Wars fans, that does happen, sadly. Like, it has happened already in the past of the prequels.
Yeah.
I mean, why are we the best fans but the worst fans also at the same time?
I was listening to some other podcasts and they were talking about how you have people saying stuff to them and message boards and comments on YouTube videos and wherever fans can actually message you. But then when you meet them in person, all they want to do is take a picture with you. You know, they say nothing when they meet you in person. And I think that's basically what it is. It's just people being behind their keyboards, knowing that there's not going to be any like repercussions or they're not going to be known. But I mean, when you go up to these people, I mean, it's totally different when it's face to face.
True. Very true. Like, I'm pretty sure, I don't know though, because a lot of people don't want to see Rian Johnson, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people...
That's going to be very interesting at Celebration, like, if he does show up.
He has to show up. He has to get people pumped for, and I think for PR purposes, he needs to be there next to J.J. Abrams. If he's next to J.J. Abrams, and Abrams and the two of them talk about the story... I think that's going to make a huge difference. If people see, okay, these two are kind of working together. What did Johnson do that for Abrams? And what's Abrams going to do with Johnson's script with episode 8? I think that's what they have to do to get people back, get the fans back into it. I'm telling you.
I'm very interested to see what a Rian Johnson on a panel reaction would be. When they introduce him.
Oh, man.
What? I mean, for the Celebration ticket goer, ticket purchaser, I mean, we're all going to be hardcore Star Wars fans. Yes. What is his reception going to be?
I mean, I don't understand. I can't see someone spending, I'm not going to say how much the tickets were, but I can't see someone spending that much.
Well, I mean, that's public knowledge.
Okay, public knowledge, right?
Spending that amount. I forgot how much
I spent on mine. I know I bought a shirt. So I was like, I got to get that shirt. But anyways, because I don't want to wait in line 5 hours to get the shirt again, you know, like I did before. But anyways, I don't see people buying tickets just to go, just to yell at him for ruining Star Wars.
Yeah, I don't think those people will be there because those tickets sold out quick.
Oh, yeah.
First of all.
Yeah, there's no way somebody's like, oh, my God, I hope Johnson's there so I can yell at him. When he's on the stage, I'm gonna buy a ticket immediately.
Yeah,
I don't
necessarily think those people are gonna be there. There might be an increased level of security, but even more so than Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't think it's gonna get too crazy because it's just gonna be the hardcores. I think this point, it's sold out way too quick for anyone to be outside with some kind of weird agenda to show up.
And just start yelling during his panel. I'm not going to lie, me personally, as soon as they announce him, I'm going to stand up and give him an ovation. Because, like I said, I think he did a great job. And that's why I like our podcast. Because you and I don't agree on The Last Jedi, but you and I can still talk about it. And I think that's...
Yeah, I mean, as a film, it was a really good film. It's just not what I wanted.
I feel you. Yeah. And I was thinking about...
I did like the porgs, though.
The porgs are great. I'm have any
big porgs. Time fan of the porgs.
Oh, I do have a couple of porgs over here on the posters. Yeah. But I was thinking about when I first saw...
And the sea cows.
You know, I watched that.
I love those cows.
I watched it again, and it wasn't weird like the fifth time I've seen it. I watched it, and I was kind of like, all right, this is kind of funny. Like, I wasn't like weirded out by it like I was the first time. Yeah. I just watched it, and I was like, oh, I get it. He's just like saying, hey, this is what I do. How do you think I've been alive this whole time? I got to come out here and these dudes feed me. So you want some? You know, he like takes a sip.
Yeah, when he was approaching it, I was like, man, that'd be cool if he milked it.
And then he milked it. He milked it, man. I was I was thinking about whenever, okay, so this is going to get, I'll tie it all in, I promise. Listeners, I'm sorry. And I know one of our listeners actually said, I like it because y'all stick with Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, even if we kind of go off, we still bring it back to Star Wars. So this is me going off, but I'm going to bring it back to Star Wars. Okay. So whenever I saw Batman Begins back in 2005, I didn't know what to expect. I was coming off of Batman and Robin, Joel Schumacher, Batman. So when the new Batman came out, I was excited because I was like, oh, we're going to get another Batman movie. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking it's going to be just like what Joel Schumacher did with his Batman movies. The movie's starting, and I was just like, this is not like any other Batman movie I've ever seen. It was awesome. And when it ended, I was like, thank you. I didn't know who he was at the time, but thank you, Christopher Nolan, for making my superhero like a cool character and putting him in a movie. Putting him in a movie that's really good, but it's also about my superhero. I felt the same way about The Last Jedi, where thank you, Rian Johnson, for having this crazy character arc for this character where he starts off one way, he goes through all this in this way, and it's heroic and it's amazing, but it's in a Star Wars movie. So for me, that's why I was like, thank you, Rian Johnson, for doing that for Star Wars, where you gave us this point A character, and at the very end, he's a completely different person. So I was like, thank you. That's just why I really appreciate The Last Jedi also, but that's just me.
See, for me, for Batman Begins, when I went in there, I was expecting Batman Begins, and I got Batman Begins because I'd been following the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yes, they gave me what I wanted. But with The Last Jedi, I was like, no, they didn't give me what I wanted.
I mean, everybody had their opinion of what was going to happen in The Last Jedi. I mean, I had my view of Luke. Because they even show, like, Rey being trained on Ahch-To in the teaser trailer, and I remember hearing the reaction of people screaming because they thought Luke is teaching her how to fight with a lightsaber and all this other stuff. But then I remember feeling like confused at the end of that trailer, even though the trailer was fantastic. But at the very end, when he says it's time for the Jedi to end, I was like, why did Luke say that? Why would Luke? Because I thought it was Kylo Ren who says that at the very end. And Luke is just there. And then I had to like kind of zoom, like listen to it again and really look. I'm like, no, that's Luke talking that way. Why is Luke talking? Luke should not be talking this way. So when that happened, I started thinking, what is Luke doing in this movie? It's not what we think is going to happen.
See, even with Luke saying that in the trailer, I thought he was still going to train her and be like, I'm not going to train you to be a Jedi. I'm going to train you to be something else. But that's not really, it kind of happened.
Yeah, he did train her, but not the way, I mean, he trained her to use the Force, but not as a Jedi. Right. Like, that was like his thing. And, oh, so I have a shirt that says, the Jedi must end. And I was like, that's not the quote in the movie. But I found out that Rian Johnson actually had a different quote for that part. And that the trailer makers switched the line to, it's time for the Jedi to end. And they were just able to get that couple of last words of Mark Hamill's voice to make it sound like he was saying that line. And so I have the shirt that says the Jedi must end, not it's time for the Jedi to end. So they had shirts printed out for what they originally had in mind for that. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
And at that panel at Celebration for The Last Jedi, everyone's like, great Jedi, great Jedi. It's a great Jedi. Half light, half dark. And no,
but again, like I said, I thought what happened, I was like, that was fantastic, which makes me excited for 9. A lot of people were like, I don't want to watch 9 because nothing's going to happen. Yeah. It's like, really? It's like, it sets up so much that we don't know what's going to happen, which makes it exciting. Yeah. So we just got to wait for all these trailers to start coming out.
Yeah, I really hope we get a Black Friday trailer like we did for Episode 7.
Dude, that's only in a couple of months, which is crazy to think about. But I think Abrams can give us just a quick couple of shots of them doing something, and then the title comes up and we all lose our minds. Like, and people are going to go through frame by frame by frame looking at this. Because I remember when Finn popped up at the beginning of the Force Awakens trailer, people were like, is he a stormtrooper? Is he a rebellion member and disguised as a stormtrooper? Yeah. Is he, where are we, and all, like, it was so funny to think of all the theories, and it was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, just the anticipation. JJ is going to release some kind of picture with his all caps writing talking about, does anyone want a Black Friday trailer? Yeah.
But then I can hear all those, no, JJ, we don't want to see your Star Wars movie anymore. We don't want to see anything anymore. Because I've read the comments of Abrams' post on Twitter where he said, thank you, Rian Johnson. Give a shout out to Rian Johnson, blah, 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 blah. People were like, he ruined it for you. I don't know how you're going to clean it up. why are you thanking him after what he did to your story? All this, like, I was like, oh my gosh, like, this post after post after post of people just saying, like, it's over, Abrams. Like, you should not have done this movie. It's not going to be good.
Yeah, it almost feels in a lot of ways that this is almost like a sequel to The Force Awakens, because it's J.J. Abrams. Mm-hmm. He's back, and it's going to be his sensibilities. So it's going to be interesting to see how this ties into The Last Jedi.
I mean, I think it's going to tie in perfectly. I've been telling people from day one, it's got to tie in. Yeah. But
it kind of has to.
It has to. The same way Return of the Jedi tied into Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, I've said it before, when you watch A New Hope and then you watch Empire, it's a completely different movie. Your hero from the first movie gets knocked out at the very beginning of the second movie. And you're like, why did that happen? He's not supposed to get knocked out. He should have known what was going to happen, but he gets knocked out. And then you figure out, oh, that's why he got knocked. Oh, okay. That makes some sense. Yeah. And then, you know, so I always go back to that, where we have the original movies to go back on, as the reason Empire is so great is because of what Return of the Jedi is. Like, the stories all work together. Yeah. That's what I think what's going to happen with The Last Jedi, to where we're going to go, whoa, that's what was going on. Which is why Johnson and Abrams are going to be on the stage together at Celebration. They have to be on stage. And I don't think anybody is going to boo them. I hope not. That's going to be very embarrassing if that does happen.
It's going to be awkward.
Because you know what's going to happen. That's going to make national news. When the Star Wars celebrations in the past have never made national news. But the moment that happens, that's going to go viral. People are going to say, look at the Star Wars fans. Look how childish they are. That's going to be... I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope they bring back a lot of people. I mean, because this is...
This is it.
The celebration before the last Skywalker saga film. So I really hope that they have like a 3-trilogy panel, you know, have all the main people and bring back Ahmed Best. I mean, come on.
Oh, man. I
really hope he's there.
I hope he's there, too. Yeah. Just so everybody can applaud him. And then, yeah, I really hope he's there.
Yeah, he really deserves to be there.
I think so. Yeah, you know what I did the other day? I started walking like him, because my mother always cracked up whenever I would walk like Jar Jar. And so my mother, she's in the hospital, and I was walking by her, like, doing that little walk, and she started laughing. Yeah. I was like, it was Jar Jar. Remember Jar Jar? She's like, yeah, Richard. I hope he's there. And we always talk about Celebration, where they will do a 20th anniversary panel. They have to do a 20th anniversary panel. Bring Liam Neeson back. Bring back Ewan McGregor, Natalie Portman, Jake Lloyd, wherever Jake Lloyd is, bring them all back. Let us applaud what happened 20 years ago. I mean, next year, what happened 20 years ago, where we had the biggest event in movie history.
Yeah.
I mentioned you in the SoTech Cinephiles podcast, how you had said when The Phantom Menace was coming out, you saw trailers to other movies that were coming out after that, and you're like, why are other movies even going to be made after this? Like, there should be no movie.
That's how obsessed I was.
There should be no movies made after episode one, except for episode two and three.
Yeah, because I just never understood it, why films couldn't live up to Star Wars. I mean, I'd waited my whole entire life, just what's going to be the thing that looks as good as Star Wars does?
And I think that's what 9 is going to do. I think that's the hype they're going to try to build. The marketing team is already building up something insane for episode 9, which, if you think about it, maybe that was why they pushed Solo at that point, so they can start getting ready for this huge, huge push for 9. You're going to be seeing 9 all the way from like December this year, all the way until next year. Like, they're going to be throwing it at you every little bit, man. I'm telling you. Like, they're going to throw a little bit out. They're going to pause, throw a little bit out, pause. And then once, like, August hits next year, it's just, boom, nothing but episode 9.
And I think the way that Lucasfilm, Disney should play it is, if they want to do a Star Wars film every year, just put it in December.
That's the only way to do it.
It's kind of a no-brain concept at this point. Because you get that whole year of build-up, and it feels like Star Wars needs that. It needs us talking about it. It needs the hype to grow. And they'll make the expected box office.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, Solo, it should have been a December release.
I mean,
we should be looking forward to it.
But now I can kind of looking now at what they should be working on now, and maybe that's what they were doing, was they couldn't be promoting Solo and the release of Solo because they needed to start already in December getting ready for 9 and getting 9 stuff already out there. Like just the teaser poster with just the logo on it, like that's enough for us to get pumped about it. The title, you know what I mean? Like that's what I think they were doing. I don't know though. I don't work for Lucasfilm. I would like to work for Lucasfilm. That's my application right there. I just sent it to them.
Yeah, I'd really like to get that teaser trailer though on Black Friday.
Oh man, yep.
Have something to look forward to instead of waiting in long lines for.
I'm gonna be really pissed off if in this teaser trailer they show on Black Friday, you see those horses walking around. They're like, oh man, Abrams, you got me, man. Yeah. You got me.
Instead of Chewie on a
Chewie on a Star Wars horse walking around. Yeah. That'd be pretty funny. Almost as hairy as he is. So,
yeah.
I still remember that when the Millennium Falcon flies up in that teaser trailer, Force Awakens, and the fanfare started. Good. It was like, who's flying it? What's happening? Why are they being chased?
Did you think was flying it? I thought it was going to be Solo.
I thought it was Solo, Luke, and Leia. I thought they were all three in there. I didn't even give a care about the other three. I was like, at the time, I didn't even care. Finn popped up. I was like, all right, that's a new guy. That's a new droid. Okay, this girl's new. Okay, that's the villain. There's the villain. There's Kylo Ren. That looks like an awesome lightsaber. And then I had no idea who the girl was, and I didn't even care. Like when I saw her, I was like, oh, that's just a new girl they're gonna have in here. Okay, that's cool. And then she was in the trailer. I was like, oh, that's the girl they're gonna have. That's okay, that's cool. And I didn't care about her. I didn't care about who Rey was. I was like, oh, that's just a girl. And then when that poster came out, I was like, I messed up. I really, really messed up. And ultimately, I love her now, but I didn't think that she was flying the Falcon. I didn't think Finn was in the Falcon with her. I thought it was Han, Luke, and Leia were doing something on Tatooine, because that's what it looked like at the time was Tatooine.
Yeah. I don't even think anyone had the idea that was a totally different planet.
Yeah, it was like
everyone just figured.
Oh, they're on Tatooine. That's pretty cool. Yeah. And that first image of the teaser trailer, whenever you see the Star Destroyer crashed. Oh man, that was amazing. I like going back listening to the reaction of the crowd at Star Wars Celebration. I was like, man, that must have been incredible to see, like, for the first time, those images.
Yeah, and you can watch all that on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look that stuff up on YouTube. It's fantastic. And watching that video of the crowd reaction was why I went to Celebration in Orlando, because I was like, I need to be in that. I need to be there. Like, why am I a Star Wars fan not there with all these other Star Wars fans? Like, that's crazy. Yeah. Oh, speaking of Star Wars fans, you and I celebrated our 1 year friendship anniversary. I don't know how they say it on Facebook.
Friendiversary.
Yeah. So yeah, like almost a year.
I totally forgot that Force Friday happened on August 31st. Yep. That's really weird.
And that's when we met. David and I met that day. We were both standing in line for Force Friday.
Yeah.
That was it. And here we are doing a podcast all about Star Wars.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
It's pretty awesome, if you ask me.
But, and we started on March 14th.
Yeah, like March 14th. Yeah. And then here we are now. We've had a few listens, and we thank you for listening.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Because I don't know, this is a lot of fun, and it's cool to know that people, I guess, like to listen to us talk about Star Wars.
Yeah, we just had it. I guess it was your wife's idea. She was like, why don't you guys just have a podcast?
I think my wife just got tired of me talking to her about Star Wars. And then I think you and I were texting one night about something. And then she says, why don't you and David have a podcast? And I was like, what's a podcast? I didn't know what a podcast was. And then she told me, we listened to a few. And I was like, oh, this could be fun. Then I asked you. And so I always say that the reason why my wife wanted us to do a podcast was so I wouldn't have to talk to her about Star Wars, so she could, you know, I can talk to you. I mentioned something to my wife the other day, and she was like, no, but I thought it'd be really funny, which was if David's wife and my wife and Joseph's fiance, if the three of them got together, did a podcast about what it's like to be with a Star Wars nerd. I was like, that'd be a hilarious podcast to hear about how, like, they thought we were gonna get over that phase, but you know, you never do get over the Star Wars phase.
Yeah, my wife claims I never brought it up to her, but it's like, come on.
Well, my wife didn't realize it until, because we started dating in 2014, right around when the big push for Star Wars was about to start. Like, it was that was like our first, like, we had literally just started dating, like, right before Thanksgiving in 2014. And then they showed the trailer then for Black Friday 2014, you know, for Force Awakens. And I was just giddy, and I was like, you don't understand. I was like, this is happening again. Like, this is something I never thought was ever going to happen ever again. So I was all pumped, and she was like, okay, now I see what kind of guy you are. She goes, you're one of those guys. I was like, yes. But she'd seen them before. It's not like she's like, but she was just like, oh, okay, that's what you like. It's like, yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah, and your wife likes other franchises, right? She likes Harry Potter.
Oh, she loves Harry Potter. Yeah, and she likes Doctor Who. She likes Doctor Who. She likes a lot of stuff. But
you tell her about Matt Smith?
Of course, I told her about Matt Smith. I was like, Matt Smith's gonna be. She goes, I don't know how I feel, because we've been watching him in The Crown on Netflix, and she's just kind of like, I don't like him anymore. You know?
Really?
Yeah, because he's kind of. I like him. I like Matt Smith a lot.
Yeah, and apparently he's a pretty good actor, right?
He's a great actor. Yeah. He's a fantastic actor. Yeah. So it's great to see him. Okay, here's my question before we I don't know. I don't know if we should wind down or not. But anyways, how do you feel about them announcing so many different actors for Star Wars? There's so many big actors now being announced in this movie to where you're kind of like, hey, I just want to see Finn, Poe, Rose, Luke, Leia, and Rey. Mostly Rey. Why? I don't want to see anyone else added to this movie. I just want to see these people. How do you feel about them adding more and more to the cast?
I feel fine about it. I know for a long time there's a big stigma with big films adding a bunch of named actors and having a bunch of characters, just like what we went through with Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
That film turned out great. It's just all about the balance. I mean, you're not going to have starring roles for all these people, you know?
I know.
But if you could just fit them in the right way and make it work, it works.
True. But, yeah, like I said, you know, at this, I didn't even fathom them introducing any new characters in this one.
Really?
I just wanted to see what's going to happen with Rey, Finn, Poe, and Rose, and then Kylo Ren, and what's going to happen with the First Order and the Resistance. Like, that's all I wanted to see. So when I saw, like, more people added to it, I was like, whoa, where are they going to fit in? I can't even... how are they going to fit into all of this?
Well, I figured the Resistance is going to need to get more people behind its cause, find new recruits, so you figure there'd be new characters there. Mm-hmm. And whoever died off in the First Order, those roles have to be replenished, so maybe there's people there as well. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's another faction. Maybe it goes kind of like Episode 1, the prequel trilogy, where they show all the other federations and communities and guilds and stuff that's out there. And they introduce that in there, and they somehow have some type of factor in on who wins in the end.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. And then you have like Dominic Monaghan, or even, you know, Matt Smith is one of those, the leaders of these things.
Yeah.
But, you know, then again, we could be wrong. They could just be stormtroopers in the movie. But no, but it said Matt Smith was in a big role. Like, he's in a huge role. I can't...
Well, the report was he was cast in a key role.
Yeah, key role, yeah.
So, what does that mean?
That could be the Snoke's apprentice.
Yeah,
the secret apprentice.
It could be anything. The way his face looks, he looks like he could play like an evil dude really well.
Yeah. But then he also... I don't know. Have you seen him in The Crown? Like, he's fantastic. He's great.
Is he kind of an evil dude there?
He's not evil, but like at first, like, he's kind of like just angry the fact that he's not like in the limelight, but his wife is, and he always has to be second, and that whole thing goes along. But then later on, you see him also as like just a regular person, and I was like, okay, he's pretty great. I hope it's not like with Adam Driver. When they announced Adam Driver, they were like, he's the villain already, and I was like, well, he could be the hero, and then you see, like, okay, he's the villain. You know what I mean? Like, I hope Matt Smith becomes like maybe somebody else. Good guy.
Yeah. Well, when Adam Driver was cast, I think everyone figured he was going to be a villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's a lot of people who thought Donald Gleason was going to be Luke Skywalker's son.
Yeah. It was crazy to see him like in the costume for the, because as soon as you see him in the costume for the First Order, you're like, obviously, like, no other actor ever could have done that role but him. And he's great. He kills it with that role.
Yeah, he's a really good actor.
I love him. He's so funny. Yeah. He cracks me up. So yeah, we'll see how it all plays out in 9. And anything else? Anything else we should speak about today?
Not really. I think that's pretty much...
I think we did a pretty good job.
Everything for this week.
We're going to be doing our commentaries here pretty soon. We're going to do the prequels. I think we're going to start with 1, 2, and 3. Yeah. And then we'll jump in.
What's well, one thing we haven't mentioned yet, you're going to have your 30th birthday.
Yes, and, yes, I
and,
am.
And you're gonna have a Star Wars themed birthday party.
Yes, I will have a Star Wars themed birthday party, and my wife actually has ideas for Star Wars like food items, and we're even gonna have blue and green milk at the party.
I'm lactose intolerant, James. I can't drink that.
I'm just kidding. Oh, jeez. It's like, well, then you're not invited to the party if you can't have green or blue milk. And then we're gonna. What else are we gonna do? We're gonna just have fun. We're gonna put some videos up on YouTube as well of her making some of the stuff like she has in mind, BB-8 rolls and all this other stuff. So it's gonna be fun. Thanks for bringing that up. I'm gonna be old, but yes, yeah, my birthday is coming up, and I'll be posting pictures of us at my party of us, having fun, and it's a Star Wars themed party. And I lied because I used to say like I never had a Star Wars themed party, but I did when I turned. I think it was right in 99 when episode 1 came out. I was 11. My birthday cake was Darth Maul versus Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan. I had this really cool poster I got. Like, so yeah, I have had one, but that was 20 years ago. Nineteen years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess technically I've had a Star Wars birthday party too, and it wasn't that long. I guess it was in 2015.
Oh, jeez. You should have lied. Be like, yeah, it was like in the '90s as well.
Because I know my wife bought me a cake, and it had BB-8 on it. I still have the BB-8, and then I think the plates were Star Wars, the cups, and then there's like a happy birthday banner. But I mean, it was just me and my wife and my kids.
I should clarify that my wife, she was my girlfriend at the time, but now she's not. She made me a Kylo Ren lightsaber cupcakes, where she made them in the design of the cross lightsaber, and then she had this thick red icing on the top, and then to make it look like it was lit. It was pretty amazing. Yeah. And then she made these cookies, and I'll try to find the pictures. I'll post them, and like she like drew in like all these pictures of like the First Order troops. I think even Kylo Ren and like all this other stuff. Like she drew on these cookies. And
so, around that time, Sam's Club had a bunch of Star Wars cupcakes. Mm-hmm. And they had rings and lightsabers sticking out of them.
Oh, wow, that's
And I
awesome.
Still have them. My wife found them. And she was like, give them to James for the party.
Thank you. Last year, my wife and I, because we had just gotten married, and we were having our reception after weekend. So we had a really small wedding. So we had a reception in Houston. And it was like the weekend of my birthday. And I didn't care. I was like, we're going to have our reception. This is going to be fun. So we had the cake there for the both of us. And then my mother-in-law brought in another cake. And it was my picture of me and BB-8 as celebration on the cake. And it was like, happy birthday. We're also going to celebrate your birthday today. And I was like, what? Get out of here. So that was pretty cool. I ate everything on the cake but my face, because I felt weird for like cutting out my face and eating my own face. So yeah, I have had Star Wars, but it hasn't been like big party. Like it's not even gonna be a big party, but like I haven't had friends come over and be like,
we're gonna make it a big party.
Yeah, we're gonna it's gonna be a lot of fun. We'll post pictures, but hey, we might even do a podcast that night anyways of us having fun. So next week, stay tuned for that. I'll be getting older, but it's crazy, even though I'm gonna be turning 30, I still love Star Wars, man. I still love it. Since I was 5, nothing's changed. Yeah. I was in the hospital with my mother, and I put on Star Wars for her, and she was just like, she rolled her eyes at me. I was like, "Yep, nothing's changed, Mom. Like this is still a thing, you know." Yeah. but yes, thank you all for listening this week. We hope you enjoyed us talking about Star Wars, and just go ahead and give us a like, comment, and subscribe, and share us, and let people know about us. We're pretty cool people, I think. I mean what do you think? Are we pretty cool people?
Yeah, we've got a bunch of emails from people talking about where they listen, how they listen, what they're doing.
I'm still shocked that most of them are from the UK. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of people from the UK, and a lot of people on Spotify listen to us.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I'm a big podcast listener myself, and I never thought you could listen to podcasts on Spotify, but apparently you can, and apparently we're getting a lot of people to listen on Spotify.
So if you're on Spotify right now listening to us, thank you so much.
Yeah.
You are so awesome. It's so cool to see. It's like, oh my gosh, people are listening to us, like a lot of people. Yeah. So send us an email at starwarsstuffpodcast@gmail.com if you already haven't. I mean, some people have. If you have, thank you. If not, starwarsstuff at StarWarsStuffPodcast@gmail.com and let us know where you're listening at. Let us know, like, your comments about us talking, what you would like us to talk about, if you have any questions about, like, anything.
Yeah, we've answered a few questions that people have asked.
So, yeah, just give us anything, and we'll give you a shout-out as well in our podcast. And also look up Colin Cantwell's Instagram page and look at all the awesome, awesome pictures he has of the stuff that he drew for George Lucas. And, so yeah, thank you for listening, and hope you have a great week, and we'll be back next Monday.
Yeah, happy Labor Day.
Yeah, may the Force be with you.
Always.